again, friends. Good morning to everyone. It's time to get in the zone with Bartow Sports Zone, your source for local coach interviews and local sports news information and local sports talk. I'm your host, Charles Wilson. I'll be joined today by members of the Bartow Sports Zone Bench Warmers. We already have Alan Sanders in the WBHF studios and Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. We have another nice show for you today. In the opening hour, we'll visit with Greg Height and Brenton Baggett of Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball to talk about their opening weekend that starts tonight and tomorrow. Then Cartersville High baseball coach Kyle Tucker will check in with us again to talk a little Canes baseball. Then in hour number two, we'll have some college football news to talk about. And, of course, we're now in the midst of March basketball madness. So we're glad you've joined us this morning. We hope you stick around for the next couple of hours. We remind you that you can always find us online at bartowsportszone.com. That's where you get your daily dose of local sports news and updates. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Bartow Sports Zone. And our free podcast downloads are available wherever you download your podcast. Just search for Bartow Sports Zone Podcast. Well, good morning again, everyone. Good morning to Alan and Jackson with us on the Bartow Sports Zone team this morning. Let's get things started and welcome in our opening guest of the day, Brenton Baggett and Greg Height from Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Charles.
Glad to have you guys with us. Welcome back to the Zone. Our annual opening day segment on the Bartow Sports Zone show on WBHF. We appreciate you guys giving up a part of your morning on what's going to be a busy couple of days.
We're making plans. We canceled tonight because the rain is moving in.
Okay.
We're just hoping everything gets set up and we can roll tomorrow.
Well, let's stay there with you, Greg. How many years is this now with the Bartow County Parks and Recreation Department, and how many years in your current role?
43 overall, and I think I'm starting about my 14th year as the director.
Yeah, and you had been a really nice run for Mr. Height there. Greg, what's been one of the, or maybe a few of the biggest changes you've witnessed over the years with the Recreation Department?
Just the growth in our community, really, trying to keep up with that. And we've tried to add on new programs, events, just trying to keep up with the needs of the public, I guess, more than anything.
Sure. Always a challenge to try to find the things that people are looking for and to meet those needs. Brenton, let's ask you the same questions. How many years now with the department and in your current role?
I've been here about 23 years now, since I started right out of high school, pretty much. And I've been here all about 13 years, I guess, as assistant with under Greg. So it's been a good run for me too.
What about you? Same question as I asked Greg. What do you think have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen?
Just the growth, I guess, like Greg said, and all the facilities and stuff that we've added, and the growth that you see at Hamilton Crossing now. The things that are coming is just really exciting. That's kind of something that I like for sure.
Greg, I'll jump back over to you real quick. I know for those of us that are up and down Highway 41 there in front of the new part of the park that's being established, give us a little bit of an update on all of that.
Well, we're starting to move. We're getting closer. Of course, the dog park is already open, and we've got the parking infrastructure in place. Pickleball tennis courts were open this early summer. We'll be opening them to the public. 10 new tennis courts, 10 new pickleball courts. Across the parking lot from that will be the 3 soccer fields. Hope to have them ready by the fall. And then we'll move up to 41, where we'll incorporate our new triple gymnasium, which we're in the process of working on getting everything set up with it now. We'll move our office building into that, indoor walking track. And then, of course, the thing most people are excited about is the water park that will be coming there, Lazy River, water slides, something that I think is going to be good for our community.
Just a tremendous amount of growth will be added to the park there. Brenton, how are you going to be able to keep an eye on all of that on both sides of the road there? That's going to be a huge park.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be really big. And like I said, it's going to be really, it's really exciting around here. Obviously, you know, we got a great staff that looks forward to the growth and looks forward to the opportunity to serve the community for sure.
Well, as we head toward this first break in this segment this morning, Brenton, I'll go ahead and start with you. This is your softball and baseball opening day weekend, and I know Greg said that some of the festivities and activities for tonight have already been canceled. Is there, you know, what were some of those things that were supposed to happen, and will there be any rescheduling of any of that?
Yeah, we just postponed it. The weather's just definitely not going to cooperate. We've been watching it all week. We had there's a concert planned, you know, food trucks, you know, all kind of stuff. We had plans for the kids, and we've actually postponed that to a later date, later in the season. We're in the process of lining that up right now, trying to get that all squared up so the kids don't really miss out on it. You know, it's a good time for all of them, and, you know, we don't want them to miss it if possible.
Sounds great, and unfortunately, the weather is kind of moving in. We'll get a little rain this evening, and then again, probably in the morning, so hopefully it'll stay out of the way of getting you started with some live baseball action for the 2024 season. We're up on our first break of the morning here on Bartow Sports Zone. We're visiting with Greg Height and Brenton Baggett from Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball, and we'll talk about opening day and the Little League season when we get back to BSZ.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month at Pesto St. Angelo for only $9.99. For you wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Alatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Keep your property in top-notch shape this season with a new Husqvarna mower from Elite Stone Supply. With all your residential and commercial mower needs, Elite has zero-turn and riding models in all price levels. Check out the robotic mowers, too. Come explore all the Husqvarna mower options at Elite Stone Supply. Across from Racetrack at 9 Baker Road, just north of Cartersville on US 41. Call 770-387-3007 on Facebook and online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here, along with Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios. And we have Greg Height and Brenton Baggett on the Zoom connection line with us this morning to talk about the opening of Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball. Let's start with you, Brenton, on this one. Your role with the district, District 1 of Little League. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. I'm the district administrator for Little League, and kind of it's a role basically that you are between, kind of a liaison between the leagues and Little League International. Basically, I work with the leagues and kind of line up the tournament dates at the end, and also help with any problem, any things they got, any issues throughout the year that deal with Little League. And it's a lot of fun, and I'll get to see a lot and learn a lot about each other's programs and help out where we can for sure.
Probably pick up some pretty good ideas from some other districts around the country by being in that role.
Yes, sir. We had a round table, what they call, every 2 years, and I went to North Carolina a couple weeks ago. And I get to talk to people from all over the Southeast about, you know, how they're doing things and kind of things that are working for them and may not be. It's definitely a good opportunity for sure.
We had the folks from Cartersville Little League on a couple of weeks ago when they got their season started. I always like to kind of share this with our audience that may be tuning in this morning. where the district lines are? Just I know you can't be real specific, but just in general, how do you view the district lines between the kids that will play in Cartersville's Little League program and those that play in the Bartow County program?
As of right now, the district line kind of runs kind of up by close to where we're at, kind of off 411 down through there, out toward Taylorsville. It's kind of split through there. However, I will say Little League's kind of moving in a different direction with that. Kids leagues age five to seven now can basically go anywhere they want to go to play. And so I believe that, you know, and now, for instance, if a kid wants to go wherever, basically what they've been doing is granting a year, making you set a year basically of tournament play, and then you'd be eligible at that league. So their Little League's kind of changing some of that, maybe good for the good, maybe not for the good. I don't know, but there's definitely some changes as far as the district lines go and how that's going to affect going forward.
Sounds like almost every other level of sports these days where it's pretty much turned into – some open season, so to speak, as far as residences and leagues and things like that. And it'll be interesting in the next few years to see how all of that plays out. How is that handled maybe differently for softball? Because I know you guys offer the softball programs.
Yes, sir. We Bartow services the entire county, so it kind of works out good for us as far as the league boundary goes. In that case, I mean, when every kid can play. But, you know, us and cars were kind of splitting it. As long as kids are getting serviced and allowed to play for a Little League, that's kind of where I stand for sure.
Greg, I know in recent years there's been an effort to add some other programs, other towns, communities to District 1. How is that part of Little League baseball and softball in District 1 working?
It's added a couple the last few years. I think Cedar Towns came back in as well as Dalton. And like Brent, we talk about this all the time. And, you know, back when you and I played, it was probably 10, 11, 12 teams in the district.
Right.
Trying to get some guys back in here. Softball is not, travel side has kind of took hold of that. So it's not quite as, I think we may be the only team in the district when it comes to softball. But like I said, it's a good experience for the kids to be able to do the state regional tournaments. And I got to see that firsthand, so that's another reason we're trying to give our girls here an opportunity to do that.
I know we'll get over to Jackson after I ask this next question, but I'll let either one of you take this one. When most people hear the term Little League, they immediately think of the 11- and 12-year-olds that they see each August on ESPN. But tell us a little bit about the variety of age divisions that encompass Little League softball and baseball, and which levels will Bartow County be participating in?
Well, I'll do the softball. For softball, we'll try to do the 10U softball, 12U softball, and probably juniors, whatever we can get our numbers in at. Baseball has got a lot of options, and I'm going to let Brenton go through them weeds. Quite a few.
Yeah, baseball, you got 8U, which they play kid pitch in that. Our district will play coach pitch because that's what the majority of our teams play. And then 9U, you got 9U, 10U. 10U starts the international tournaments where you can go to what they call a tournament of state champions, which is basically a regional, 11-year-olds, 12s. And then, I mean, you've got a 13-year-old tournament now all the way up to 16. So we'll try to field as many as we can and give every kid that we, you know, a lot of kids in our community or our program a chance to play that we can.
Jackson, jump in here with these guys.
Good morning, guys. It's important to let everybody in our community know, how many kids are you servicing both on the girls and boys side? Do you have a total number yet for this year?
Yeah, that's probably just baseball, softball side. It's probably between 1,300 and 1,400. Then plus the other thing we have to look at is we're running our spring soccer league as well right now, and that's close to 800 kids.
Yeah.
So a little over 2,000 kids in our community being handled by the Bartow County Recreation Department. That's amazing. And proud of you guys and the work that you do for us. We certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Guys, any organization of that size is going to rely on a lot of different people. Has there been any recent shortages of coaching volunteers? Or Brenton, I know you and I talked quite a bit about
umpires and officials and things like that. Talk about the volunteers that you have.
As far as volunteer coaching, baseball, I mean, we can, most of the time that kind of comes when we do have some majors, we do have to find some. Softball, I'll say this year we probably didn't have it. I mean, we had a lot of really good people wanting to coach, so it kind of took care of itself. Now, soccer, we're usually always needing 20 to 30 soccer coaches in the spring and fall. Like we're just, that's just a sport that's always short. As far as officials, it's funny. Every time I seem like I get three or four new guys in, it's like three or four leave. So, like, my numbers, like, I end up, you know, I think I'm good, and then I'm not. I mean, you know how it is, Charles. Booking, sure. You know, you always can't have enough of those umpires and officials because, you know, there's never enough for sure.
Well, we'll wrap this up by letting you guys talk a little bit about the length of the season. Approximately how many games, Brenton, will these teams be playing?
Most of our teams will play a 12-game schedule. Some of them may have a few more or less, depending on the age group. The season, one thing that we're trying to get it done by about the middle of May because of, you know, that last week leading up to school getting out. There's so many activities, sure. Graduations and this and that. So we're hoping, but, you know, weather is going to play a factor, obviously, in that.
Very good. Well, thank you guys for jumping in here this morning, giving up your time on a busy day. We want to thank you for joining us here on Bartow Sports Zone and wish you all the best with the 2024 season. That's Greg Hike and Brenton Baggett from Bartow County Little League Baseball and Softball, and we'll take a time out and be back with more BSC.
Whether you love them or can't stand them, surprises are part of life. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you get ready for whatever life throws your way. He'll work with you to meet your changing needs and to help you end up where you want to be. And while there's never a good time to experience unexpected costs, Derek can help make them feel a little less unexpected. For an appointment, call Derek Strange at 770-386-4545. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Charles Wilson of BartowSportsZone.com, inviting you to join us each Friday morning from 7:10 to 9 a.m. for the Bartow Sports Zone radio show. We'll interview local coaches, visit with sports personalities, and discuss the hot topics in the world of sports. So join the Bartow Sports Zone team Friday mornings on WBHF and keep up with your local sports news at BartowSportsZone.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We want to thank Greg Hite and Brenton Baggett for joining us this morning in the opening half hour of Bartow Sports Zone. Jackson Hite is here with me, Charles Wilson on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders is back running the ship in the WBHF studios. We're glad you have joined us here on WBHF this morning and on the Bartow Sports Zone podcast. We want to welcome in our next guest of the morning, the head coach of the Class 5A top-ranked Cartersville Purple Hurricanes, Kyle Tucker. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Charles, and thank you for having me on this morning.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. We want to thank you for sharing some of your time with us this morning. I know it's always a busy, busy day. Anytime it's a game day, but we always welcome in to hear a little bit more about Cartersville baseball. I know you guys played game two of your series that's going on this week with Woodland last night. Kind of take us through that contest last night. Tell us how things went for the Canes.
Well, I mean, Charles, you know, we know it's going to be super competitive in this series. You know, Woodland was our two seed out of the region last year and just really a good team and really, really impressed with, you know, Coach Eubanks and what he's done with that program now in just a year and a half. And, you know, coming into the week, it's kind of a series. Whoever wins the series is probably going to be up there in first or second place. You know, now we have to keep winning to keep pace with Cass, who swept Dalton. But, you know, it started with Luke Miller. Luke Miller led off the game with a triple. And, man, that kind of gave us a bolt of, you know, energy right off the bat. ended up scoring two runs in that first inning. And then Aiden Larkin hit a three-run home run in the second inning, kind of gave us a 5-0 lead there in the second. That allowed Sawyer Wilson to, you know, pitch with a lead on the mound, and he just kind of did his thing. And game kind of settled down there in the middle innings. And Woodland threatened a few times. And they got a very good lineup. They hit the ball real well. They put the ball in play. Aiden Ray seems like he's been at Woodland 16 years. I mean, that joker can hit, man. He's a good, great three-hole hitter. So, you know, and he came up with people on base, it seemed like, all night. So they were always one hit from getting right back in it. And then we scored late in the seventh inning, kind of made it a little bit lopsided at the end. But good win for our guys. I thought they played well against a good team.
Take us back to the opening game of the series on Tuesday. I know you guys had a 7-run first inning that was capped off with a Tristan McKibben grand slam, eventually a 13-3 win. And you utilized three different pitchers in that one, including your ace, Ryan Johnson. Take us back through game one of the series.
Yeah, it's very similar. I mean, you know, had a good start. And, you know, Woodland was kind of coming in to the start of the series a little bit unique. They had to play Saturday. So, you know, maybe all their top, you know, arms weren't available. I don't know. No offense to, you know, young men that we saw out on the mound, but I don't know if they had started games before, and, you know, had a hard time finding the strike zone. And like you said, we kind of had an early lead, and then Tristan hits that grand slam. And I think we had a 7-run lead with one hit, you know, so it's funny how baseball works sometimes. But very happy for Tristan, get that first career home run, be a big hit like that was great to see. And then kind of like I said about last night's game, it kind of gave Ryan an early lead. And Ryan went three innings, and I think only threw like 33 or 34 pitches. You know, when we had the lead where it was, wanted to get some other guys some work. You know, it's a fine line because Ryan, you know, obviously is our number one pitcher, and you want to get him his work, and we got to get him, you know, conditioned and in shape to throw a lot of pitches in a game, you know. But at the same time, there's other guys that have to pitch too. So it was kind of a catch-22, but we were able to get in Dawson Bishop and Nick Ruby and win the game, like you said, 13-3.
Yeah, Coach, we're not going to hear you complain too much. That's a nice, really nice problem to have, try to get all of those arms into the competition level. Game three scheduled for a home game tonight at Richard Bell. I'll put you into the weather prognosticator role for a second. You going to be able to get this one in?
It doesn't look great. It's funny that you said that. And listen, everybody means well, but everybody in this time of year baseball season is a meteorologist. You know, they're going to tell you what that weather's going to do. We watch it as closely as anybody. And good thing with Woodland being close, we can give it as much time as we can without having to call it off. And basically, I mean, Coach Eubanks, he said the same thing. The game is on until it's not. You know, we are planning to play until we can't. I hate calling off games days before, or, you know, I mean, there's sometimes where that's necessary. And it looks like it may be necessary today, but until it is, we're going to play. And, you know, never know. Maybe the rain is 3 or 4 hours later showing up than predicted and you get it in. So, I mean, we do have the game scheduled today, and we have a contingency plan if it doesn't get play today. But man, it looks like we're getting a lot overnight too. So we're going to try to play tomorrow if we can't play today. And then another if the field will allow. So sure. Hopefully we can finish this series in these next 2 days.
Well, we hope that you're able to get that one in and stay on the schedule. We'd hate to have that game to be squeezed into some other part of the schedule. That's a little different this year. It's not like everybody's on the same routine. You and I were talking before we came on the air about how there's always one team in the region that has a non-region schedule, you know, scattered through the several weeks of the region slate. But we'll talk more about that and talk about how the season has been going when we come back to Bartow Sports Center.
Elite Stone Supply can meet all your needs for outdoor lawn supplies and power equipment. But did you know they repair and service small engines? From string trimmers to lawn mowers, Elite has experience, tools, and service to keep your equipment running. Elite Stone Supply, with Husqvarna mowers and everything you need to keep your property in great shape this season. Nine Baker Road and Joe Frank Harris Parkway, just north of Cartersville, across from Racetrack. Online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We have Kyle Tucker on the Zoom connection with us this morning. I'm Charles Wilson, along with Jackson Hyde and Alan Sanders. Coach, let's back up just a little bit on your schedule before we talk about your region games with Calhoun. You know, I don't want to dwell on any of the negative, but you had that little three-game skid that you experienced over there in Hoover at the Perfect Game Tournament. Of course, that's some of the best competition in the nation that you're facing over there. But talk a little bit about the attitude of your team and how that played into moving forward with this season.
Yeah, I mean, you never obviously want to lose games. And, you know, we go over there every year saying, man, one of these years we're going to bust through and win it. Man, it's a difficult tournament. And we played a Bob Jones team that's like number 15, you know, top 15 of the country now, had a 3-0 lead on them. And they're just so good and battle back. They beat us on a walk-off in the bottom of the seventh. And it was just kind of one of those, like, man, so close and tough loss, first loss of the season. We thought we were going to dinner. We were going to go home and get warm. It had been raining and got to eat. And we find out, nope, you got to play tonight again, like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and played a really good Pickens County team. They beat us by one run. So we took 2 one-run losses in about, you know, 6 hours. And played a really good team the next day. But it was good to, you know, reset and to show our team, hey, when we get people on base, hey, we got to get a hit. Somebody's got to get a big hit. We got to make some things happen at the plate and on offense. And we only gave up, I think, 11 runs in the tournament and only won one game. So, I mean, giving up 11 runs in 4 games, we feel like we should have won more than one game. But, hey, there's nothing we could do about it. And I like the way the guys have responded these next 3 weeks, getting the region play started.
Absolutely. Your team swept Calhoun in a 3-game series prior to this current Woodland series. What were some of the highlights from that Calhoun series?
Competitive, you know, hat tip to Calhoun, played the game up there Tuesday and again, got a 3-0 lead. And then next thing you know, boom, Calhoun has a big inning and we're down 5-3. But credit to our team, once we got down, when we came up to bat the next inning, our first 4 batters scored. So our guys really answered the bell there and won that game. Played very well in game 2. I think the final might have been 12-2, something like that. And then game 3, again, competitive. Calhoun threw a young man, it's a really good pitcher, a freshman at us in that third game. And, you know, they had a 2-1 lead on us in the fifth. And we were over there kind of, you know, scratching our heads. We were down 2-1 and we were throwing a no hitter in the fifth inning. We're like, what in the world? But again, credit to the guys for battling back and finding a way to win that one. So it's a competitive series. And, you know, I think Calhoun will show they're a young team with talent. I think they'll show over their last 3 weeks of the region that they got a good team that's certainly, you know, state tournament worthy.
Well, Dalton next week, then you have that spring break week where you'll play McIntosh, Houston County, and Cedartown, I believe, on your schedule, and then a series with Cass. We were talking before this segment of the show started off the air. This thing with the region condensed like it is, it goes by pretty fast.
Goes by very quickly, Charles, and I told the team that, you know, this is a 12-game sprint, you know. It's not a big league season where there's 162 games and you can find your way. It's right the opposite. It's almost like a mini tournament before the state tournament. I mean, you really don't have a lot of room for error. Every game is very important just because it is only 12 games. And, you know, I mean, we're thankful and happy to be 5-0, but we also know we've got 7 games to go and that they'll all be competitive. And, you know, I think anybody, like you were saying to me, with pitching, you got a good pitcher, man. Baseball, anybody can beat anybody. And anything can happen in baseball. You can hit the ball hard 10 times right at people. And there's nothing you can do about it. So it's definitely going to be a competitive region here over this last month.
Jackson, I know you're ready with a question.
Yeah, Coach, you're roughly halfway, maybe a little over halfway through the entire season. Who's a couple of players on your team that surprised you so far this year that stepped up and maybe got more innings or more big hits than you expected when the season started?
Yeah, I mean, I will mention our top four in the lineup, Luke Miller, Aiden Larkin, Caleb Daniel, Andrew Purdy, all four of those guys, you know, committed or signed to colleges, and they've all been great so far and really had a good start. Cameron Cochran, our five-hole hitter as the DH, he had two hits last night. Man, he just kind of quietly produces, and I think he's our leading RBI guy so far out of the five-hole. He's had a lot of big hits. And then Tristan McKibben in our seven-hole. He's had a lot of big hits, hit the grand slam. So we're really, really pleased with the season he's had so far. And then Landon Cole at first base, our six hitter, he's really coming on hitting the ball better these last 2 weeks. So those first seven are doing well. And Cole Crawford, the freshman in the eight holes, kind of starting to find his way a little bit. And we're doing a little musical chairs in the nine hole, giving a lot of young men opportunities. And Nolan Elrod's done well as a sophomore, got some big hits. And then Turner Abernathy last night got a really big hit for us, two-run single, so happy for Turner. So just some of the names, some of the guys contributing on offense right now.
Coach, thank you for joining us this morning as we wind things down here on this segment of Bartow Sports Zone. Coach Kyle Tucker of Cartersville Purple Hurricanes, best of luck to you as you move forward on the season. We didn't get to half of what we wanted to talk to you about, but we'll keep up with you and want to wish you well with the rest of the year.
All right. Thank you, Charles. I'm sorry I get long-winded, but thank you guys for having me.
We appreciate you being here. That's Coach Kyle Tucker of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month, the Pesto St. Angelo, for only $9.99. And for you wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Allatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Georgia at highschoolofficials.com.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Glad to have you with us here on WBHF in Cartersville. We want to thank all of our guests from the opening hour, Greg Height and Britton Baggett from Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball, and of course Kyle Tucker from the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes Baseball Program as they get ready to try to wrap up Game 3 of their series with Woodland this evening out at Richard Bell Field. We want to thank all of our guests from that first hour this morning. I'm Charles Wilson. I've got Jackson Hyde and David Coleman on the Zoom connection with me. Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios running the ship for us today. We're brought to you by Elite Stone Supply, Three-Way Campers, St. Angelo's Pizza at Lake Point, and Derek Strange, your local Edward Jones investment advisor. Next week will be the final show of Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF for this 23-24 school year. We're on here from usually around mid-August until the end of March each year. And we'll have the local high school football coaches on to discuss their spring and summer, the off-season schedules that they've put together, some of their goals, and plus their schedules and outlooks for the 2024 season. So we're looking forward to visiting with our high school football coaches one more time before we take our spring and summer break. And then we'll be full tilt into high school football when we get back in August. Let's get started this morning and talk a little bit of college football. as we transition out of the high school discussion. We love to talk about college football here on Bartow Sports Zone. And earlier this week, Seth Emerson, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for The Athletic, covered a story about Nick Saban's opinions that he shared with some members of Congress last week. Saban, who is 72 years old and is still probably the biggest individual brand, if you will, in college football, has expressed some concerns about the direction of the game as far as the name, image, and likeness rules and the transfer portal. The story from Seth Emerson included comments from Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, saying that his coaches on his staff and the coaches he talks to aren't as disgruntled or looking to get out of the profession in any way, shape, or form. He was quoted as saying, "Our coaches still focus on developing talent. They enjoy the profession. They want to the job to be about relationships." So Smart emphasized that Saban, who put more players in the NFL than anybody, has a complete right to share his concerns and that they should be heard. But he went on to say that his, talking about Kirby Smart, his biggest concern is how the current system is allowing the younger players to potentially receive more NIL funds and have more advantages than the older players. Talk about the sophomores, juniors, seniors, and holdover grad students. So now let me get to the question at hand as I point all of that out. Saban is going to be in the media a lot this summer and fall because he's got that new analyst role with ESPN. We should get to add that Saban has long been in favor of players being compensated, but maybe not just in the way that it's currently taking place. David, I'll start with you. How much influence do you think Saban will have on the policies of the NCAA and college football moving forward?
Very little. It's all about the money. And the, you know, ABC, Disney owns those big networks, and they make the call. That's where the money's coming from.
Jackson, your take of how much influence do you think Saban and his commentary and his role, how much influence do you see him having moving forward in his new media role?
Well, he's earned the right, in my opinion, to voice his opinions. I'm not sure how much weight it'll hold on the current coaches in the way that they're operating their programs. I understand Kirby's point of view. Kirby's still in the business. Kirby's still trying to get kids to come to his program. So he's going to have a different opinion than Saban does as of now. But I do think possibly with governing bodies and athletic directors, things of that nature, people of that nature, that Saban may have a little more influence now that he'll, because he will be more vocal. You know, he had to keep things close to the vest, similar to Kirby. He's trying to get kids to come to his program. But now that he has that shackle off of him, I think you'll see, like you mentioned, he'll be more vocal. And I think he'll hold some weight with the governing bodies and some ADs and folks of that nature.
Yeah, Jackson, I'll stay with you. You think this is a case of embracing the changes, or the opposite, I guess, would be rejecting the direction of the game?
Yeah, I don't think as a coach, with the way the recruiting is going and where recruiting is, that you can ill afford to be disgruntled or come across as even being a little bit upset with the current situation, because that'll sway kids, that'll sway parents and agents. You know, and at this point in time, these kids and now in college can have agents to handle their media side of things. So it's going to be important for current coaches who want to continue to be successful to keep it close to the vest as far as their true, honest opinions are concerned.
We'll move on to some other topics after this next commercial break. But the other big college football news this week is out of Clemson. It appears that they want to be out of the ACC, just like their friends at Florida State. They've seen the new media contracts for the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to be more than twice that of the ACC, about $50 to $60 million per year in the SEC and only about $23 million per year in the ACC. We'll be following that to see how that plays out. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be back with more of Bartow Sports Zone.
To win in sports, you need to adjust your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you create a game plan for your financial goals. He'll help you look at the big picture and help you plan for your future. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here along with Jackson Hyde and David Coleman on the Zoom connection this morning. That word just escaped me. Alan's laughing at me. I can see him on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios, keeping us rolling this morning. We were talking about Clemson joining with Florida State, now looking to get out of the ACC. We were mentioning that before that last commercial break, and I wanted to come back to Jackson Hyde to get his take on that. Even the addition of North Carolina in that mix, Jackson.
Yeah, I read an article earlier this morning that it appears North Carolina is going to join in the suit to remove themselves from the Atlantic Coast Conference. Charles, I think it's the first domino fall where you're going to eventually, probably I'd say within the next 10 to 12 years, you're going to see two separate divisions of college sports. You're going to have a compensated player division, an NIL division. And then you're going to have schools that are just going to opt out. They're going to have their own, whether it be a separate association or just a separate league. You're going to have, you know, a playoff situation and non-compensated players in one league and then compensated players in the other. That's my opinion. I think that's where we're headed.
The question I posed you off the air, and we'll bring it to the air now, is, it will. Do you see it moving almost like the Premier League with its relegation system, where the teams at the bottom of that kind of hanging on, and then you're going to always have college programs that are on the rise that'll be seeking to get into that type of league?
I think I haven't thought of it in that perspective, Charles, but I think you're exactly right. I think there'll be opportunities for teams to opt in, and maybe if they're not performing well or if their budgets are not allowing them, be able to opt out. I think that's probably will be a scenario, which will probably all still fall under that NCAA umbrella, but with two separate leagues.
David, for those of us that love college football, that's some big changes.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to guess what the scenario is going to be. Even the powers to be don't have a clue, but it'll all come down to money. As usual.
And it always does. They always say, follow the money. But big difference, the ACC teams seeking to get out, and they have them locked in to an extremely long contract right now. And, of course, they're looking to get out of that when they see the Big Ten and the SEC almost doubling the amount of revenue that's going to each school in the near future as compared to the ACC. And that's the big reason for their seeking to get out. I did want to touch on a couple of other things. The Georgia men's basketball program in the NIT, we kind of trashed basketball in the state of Georgia. Then Georgia somehow gets into the 32-team NIT field. It should be noted, however, St. John's, Pitt, Oklahoma, Memphis, Ole Miss, Washington, Indiana, that's some pretty big basketball names out there that all turned down invitations to allow Georgia to even get in the first place. But then they did build a big lead against Xavier the other night, led by as much as 21 in the second half, and then held on to beat the Musketeers by just 2 points, 78-76. Kind of been a pattern for that Georgia team all year long to have big leads and then either barely hang on or lose those leads to quality teams down the stretch. Only 18-16 on the year, but they have made it to the second round of the NIT. They'll play at Wake Forest on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock in the second round. The Deacons are 19-12. They beat App State in the first round earlier this week, 87-76. The other item that I wanted to touch on before we get to the big men's tournament and get some ideas and comments from our BSC bench warmers. the women's NCAA bracket. We don't spend nearly as much time focusing on that, or we haven't in the past, but I did want to touch on that. You've got South Carolina at 32-0, the overall number one seed. I'll start with you, Jackson. Do you take the field or the Gamecocks on the women's side?
It's a really tough call. You know, the fact that they're 32-0, and I've watched a couple of their games, believe it or not, and they're pretty fun to watch. That bunch plays really hard. And just the fact that they're 32-0, it's just what they got to win four more games to do it. So I'd have to take South Carolina versus the field.
Yeah, it's always, you know, you're talking about a 68-team bracket now, and you're talking about a team having to go through a lot of difficulties and the journey of making it through any bracket that's that large. And we see all the upsets that are out there. Kind of difficult to ever think that you might take one team against the field. But, David, those women at South Carolina and Coach Staley's team, they have just been dominant this year.
Yeah, it seems like they've won the game before they get on the court. They are, without question, the most intimidating program in all of college sports, any sport. It's quite impressive what they put together.
It's been an exciting year for women's college basketball. The other three number one seeds in the women's tournament include Iowa with Caitlin Clark, who's been all over the news and breaking the all-time scoring record in college basketball. You've got USC with Juju Watkins, and of course a Texas team that's the other number one seed. If we add South Carolina back in there again, Jackson, I'll make it an easier question for you. Would you take any of those four number one seeds, any of the four, against the rest of the field?
Absolutely. I think that's a no-brainer. It's the one thing about women's college basketball, it tends to be a little more top-heavy than the less parity, if you will, than the men's side of things. So I think it's definitely, you know, you could fill your bracket out on the women's side and almost go chalk all the way and have a really good bracket when everything's said and done.
David, I'll come back to you. I don't know how much time you spend watching any of the women's game, but it's really been a purer game in recent years, and the growth of the sport and the number of fans that are attending the games has been really impressive this year, especially with the Caitlin Clark story.
Yeah, girls basketball, out of all the women's sports, it's the one that's made the most movement as becoming something that they can make money broadcasting. So it is without question becoming a dominant, programmable opportunity for TV.
According to the Vegas odds, LSU and some familiar names, UConn and Stanford, are among some of the betting favorites outside of those four top teams. So it will be extremely interesting to see how that women's bracket plays out. And of course, Jackson mentioned it. In general, and on the women's side, the top seeds tend to dominate, and we'll see if any of those other two or three seeds can break through and challenge any of those top four seeds. We'll take our next break here on WBHF in Cartersville and be back with more of BSC.
Sponsors of the Elite Athletes of the Month, Elite Stone Supply at Baker Road and US 41 North is your local authorized Husqvarna dealer. See Elite for all your landscaping needs. And check out the inventory of mowers, tillers, trimmers, and blowers. Need pine straw, mulch, sand, topsoil, rocks, or landscaping boulders? How about cultured or natural stone? Elite delivers with tons of options. Across from Racetrack, just north of Cartersville, on Facebook and at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Hey folks, this is Sean from St. Angelo's Pizza next to Lake Point Sports. Nothing goes better with bracketology and March basketball than a hot pizza, delicious wings, and our award-winning knots. Check out our tournament winner and pizza of the month, the Pesto St. Angelo, for only $9.99, and
You wing lovers, you know wings aren't just for football anymore. They're the foundation of any good basketball party, and we have our own Sweet 16 flavors to choose from. So come watch with us on Old Alatoona Road or order online at stangelos.com. That's stangelos.com.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson with you on the Zoom connection, along with Jackson Hyde and David Coleman. We have Alan Sanders running the ship back in the WBHF studios. We want to thank all of our guests from the first hour this morning, Greg Height and Britton Baggett from the Bartow County Little League Softball and Baseball Program. And then, of course, Kyle Tucker, the head coach of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes, for joining us this morning. If you missed those interviews, you can always catch it on the podcast later on today or at your convenience. Almost anytime, just search for Bartow Sports Zone podcast. We're brought to you each week by Elite Stone Supply, Three-Way Campers, St. Angelo's Pizza, and Derek Strange, your local Edward Jones investment advisor. And we will remind you one more time that this is the penultimate, as Alan shared with me earlier this morning, next to last show of the Bartow Sports Zone season for 23-24. Next week, we'll have high school football coaches on here to talk about their spring and summer, their off-season schedules and goals. And Alan, I guess you guys, you and Mike, will start bringing in a different kind of guest in the morning shows on Friday.
We always find it interesting when we get to this time of year because we're also starting to run out of the school year, and so the summer tends to be the hardest time to book guests in general. So,
right.
But, yeah, Mike Garcia was just bemoaning a little earlier in studio. He goes, oh, I'm going to have to get back to doing some more work on Fridays.
Well, we will help anywhere we can, and we can even help you get some of the coaches in there down the latter stretch of the baseball season.
And you know what? I was going to say, chances are that's what we're going to be, we'll be looking forward to, depending on, you know, how deep some of these coaches go. We might want to have them in for a 10-minute interview or something like we normally do with regular guests rather than the full show, but at least kind of put a spotlight on how deep the teams are going.
Let's keep it there with you for just a second, Alan, as we begin to look at our men's NCAA tournament breakdown. Thursday's first round games after the first four that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. We had 3 11 seeds and 1 14 seed to win just on the first day, and we're only halfway through the first round. It's always interesting with the upsets that occur in the opening round of the NCAAs.
I love this because I was talking with Kevin Carroll and Mike Garcia in the back. I'm like, you guys are so much more knowledgeable. But I said, I guarantee you could take 10 of the most knowledgeable, like they've got stats memorized, they know the teams, the records, the trends, and they would create their brackets. Not only would you have 10 different brackets, then every one of those is going to have a problem because there's just no way to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's always exciting, and it's interesting to keep up with all of it. Probably just looking at the afternoon games now to begin with, the biggest surprise of the afternoon games was the Duquesne Dukes knocking off BYU 71-67. The Dukes were just efficient on offense and in control really for most of that game. Duquesne taking down BYU in the opening round. That was an 11 seed, one of three 11 seeds to beat a 6 seed in the opening round on yesterday. So that's a little bit unusual. Some of the other afternoon games from yesterday, Michigan State over Mississippi State, Creighton over Akron, Arizona over Long Beach State, North Carolina over Wagner, Illinois over Morehead State. The other 11 in the afternoon was Oregon beating South Carolina, but quite strangely, Vegas had Oregon actually as a betting line favorite over South Carolina in that game. And then Dayton edging Nevada in that afternoon cluster of games. In the evening, number 14, Oakland beats Kentucky. Now, that's a veteran, older Oakland team and a Kentucky team that just, Jackson, just really never liked to play defense all year long.
Yeah, you know, two opposite ends of the spectrum with an Oakland heavy senior-led team versus a Kentucky team that's pretty much consists of a bunch of one and done players. I mean, they're in the at Kentucky for one reason, and that's to prepare for the NBA draft. And that showed last night. It's not a huge buy-in on defensive side of the ball or even teamwork from that Kentucky team. So while I'm surprised that Kentucky didn't win, I get it. I see how Oakland can pull that win off.
The other evening winners or nighttime winners, Iowa State beat South Dakota State, Gonzaga over McNeese, Texas handled Colorado State, Tennessee simply blistered St. Peter's 83-49, Kansas beat Samford. I'll come back to that one in just a second. The other 11 that won was NC State beating Texas State 80-67, and Washington State beats Drake 66-61. Kansas beating Samford in some ways might
important
be
important advice
an
from
upset.
Tree Amigo.
That was probably the most popular upset pick for most people to take Samford to beat Kansas. We'll take our next time out here on Bartow Sports Zone. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the men's game and the tournament games coming up today.
Do you see yourself traveling, working part-time, or moving someplace warmer when you retire? Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, wants to help make your retirement goals a reality. He can help you figure out where you are today and how to get where you expect to be. Working together, you can plan for what you want and be ready to take on anything unexpected along the way. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here along with Jackson Hyde and David Coleman on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders with us in the WDHF studios. We're talking a little March Madness on the men's side in college basketball. You know, we live in the ACC, SEC part of the country. So here's the next question I'll jump into. Jackson, I'll start with you. Which ACC team makes the deepest run? You've got Virginia that's already out from their first four loss. So that leaves us with North Carolina, Duke, and NC State. Which of those three teams out of the ACC do you think make the deepest run?
Well, on paper, it should be North Carolina. I think they're a team that's capable of making the Final Four, but NC State's caught lightning in the bottle. They went into that ACC tournament, a middle-of-the-pack team. A good run through the tournament, and now what some are calling a upset there in round one. Wouldn't be surprised if they can keep that momentum going that they wind up being the team making the deeper run.
It's a tough day yesterday. It was a tough day yesterday for the SEC. Of course, you had the Kentucky upset that we already talked about. South Carolina was a loser in the first round. Mississippi State falls to Michigan State in the first round. So the SEC just goes 1-3 on the first day. So you've got Tennessee, Auburn, Texas A&M, Florida, and Alabama remaining in the SEC. David, I'll give you a shot at it first. Just pick a team. Who do you think out of the SEC makes the deepest run?
Auburn probably for me, just they seem to be from what little bit I know about it to be a very balanced team offensively and defensively.
Jackson, of those SEC contenders that are left, who do you like?
A lot of times it comes down to guard play. Who has the best guard play in the tournament? And I think probably Tennessee would be my pick there to make a deeper run. But just on a side note, a team to watch out for, and they play today, first game out of the gate, Florida Atlantic. Always a solid program. That's probably my Cinderella to make it maybe to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they're an interesting pick year in and year out. And you talked about guard play. If we look at those SEC teams, those are all teams that really focus on the offensive side of the ball. And it kind of caught up with some of those teams yesterday that don't spend a whole lot of focus on defense. And kind of got them yesterday in the opening round. Of course, Tennessee with the big win yesterday over St. Peter's. But you've got Florida, with really good guards in the backcourt that will hit the floor today. Texas A&M, Alabama's a team. Their head coach even laments about the fact that they don't play defense. Really, Auburn is the only team out of that group, out of the SEC, that's left that's pretty balanced offensively and defensively, as David was talking about. They're the only team in the entire 68-team field that ranks in the top 10 of both offensive and defensive efficiency. So kind of keep an eye out on those Auburn Tigers as they get into the battles of the NCAA tournament. One other stat that I heard this week that I wanted to pass along, there's been no national champion since the tournament expanded to 64 teams back in the 1980s that has failed to reach its own conference tournament semifinal and then won the national championship. And Tennessee is the only number one or two seed this year to fit into that category. So a lot of people picking Tennessee to go deep in the tournament, but they would be breaking a trend if they were to do that, because they are the only one or two seed in the country that did not at least reach the semifinals of their own conference tournament. Let's quickly take a look at a couple of games that are going on today. Jackson, you mentioned that Florida Atlantic game. That's an 8-9 game with Northwestern. That's a noon, just after noon tip-off in Brooklyn. Florida Atlantic, the Owls have John L. Davis, a hero in last year's Final Four run. But Northwestern counters with Bowie, a 6'2 guard. He's one of the Big Ten's best shooters. So we'll see if your Florida Atlantic Owls can advance here.
Yeah, and as far as the rest of today's slate, there's two more games that I like that you could call pretty major upsets. Number one of those is James Madison, a 12 seed playing Wisconsin. James Madison's 30-3 and can shoot the lights out of it. If those guys are hitting their threes today, I like that game as an upset. And the other one would be Clemson. I think they were kind of a fringe team that maybe got in on some success early in the season, but they play New Mexico today at 3:10. That would be another one to keep your eye on for a big bracket buster upset.
Yeah, that one's in Memphis, and according to a group of researchers out of Furman University, that is the, according to their breakdown, and they did a very detailed study on this, that's the most likely upset of all of the games in the tournament going into the first round. The group's data says that New Mexico, who is an 11 seed, has a 58% chance to win that game. So that's pretty good odds for a lower seed and another 11 seed to knock off a 6 seed. We'll see if P.J. Hall, the big forward center, 6'10 guy from Clemson, can hold on against New Mexico. That'll wrap it up for this week's edition of Bartow Sports Zone. We want to thank you for joining us each week. We'll be back next week with one more show in the 23-24 season. For Jackson Hyde, David Coleman, and Alan Sanders, this is Bartow Sports Zone.